Now am I on? Okay, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's good to all see. It's good to all see you here tonight, and or see you all here tonight. Let me wake up. I was going back and forth on whether to read this whole chapter or not. Sometimes, you know, if you read a whole big long chapter, it kind of takes up space of your sermon. But we'll see what happens here. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day ye shall observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And of course they take that out of Luke 4:4, because, you know, why should we have every word, right? And moving down towards verse, 16, Deuteronomy 8:16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, this kind of, I kind of picked it up in the middle, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you for who you are and for a perfect book that shows us your character, your holiness, and your goodness, your mercy, everything about you. There's too many people running around that don't believe this book, that don't want to go to this book, that are afraid of this book, and don't want to believe in the God of this book. And I do thank you that you opened my eyes so many years ago, and I pray that you'd continue showing me the truth. I pray that you'd be here with me tonight, help me to preach, fill me with your Spirit, Lord, be here in a special way, and I pray that you'd help me to get across what you'd have here tonight. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I mature in age, I don't know why, but I start forgetting a lot more. You know, if I'm on a job site and I got a lot of stuff going on in my mind, it's like, you know, I'll walk out to the van to go get something. I need this. And by the time I get out to my van, I don't remember what I went out there for. So then I got to go back in and walk around. Okay, whatever. Oh, that's what I remembered. And then go back out to the van, okay, and get the thing, you know. There's so many times I just forget. That's the way we are. We forget. We forget a lot of things. And the Lord, that's one of the jobs of your pastor and preacher as evangelist, is to help you remember, to keep things in remembrance. There are so many times that there are things that I have learned from the Bible that I forget and relearn 10 years later. Because that's the way it goes, you know. But one of the things that, you know, I was trying to, you know, I was asking the Lord, what do you want me to preach tonight? What do you want me to do? It was a little bit last minute, and so I hope this is a blessing to you. But I want to preach on things to remember, things to remember. And, of course, if you're going to remember something, the first thing you should remember here in verse 18, Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. You know, in this country, especially in this country, we are very blessed materially. More than, you know, you could even look. They could talk about the poverty level and how, you know, we have a certain, you know, I'll tell you, the people in our poverty level are rich compared to most of this world, to most of the people of the world. And the thing is as we get more and more material, because, you know, if in a way, I mean, in this day and age, God works different. But when a nation does right as a whole, God will bless that nation. But the problem with that is you start getting prosperous. You start getting, you know, blessings from God, and you start to forget. You start to forget. One of the verses last night when we went street preaching at the Basilica, I always like going there. And, you know, there is a few people that said, you know, what you're doing here, you're defeating your purpose in trying to get people these tracts. You're making people feel uncomfortable. You're not making, that is my purpose for being there. I don't want them to feel comfortable. I don't want them to feel comfortable. I want them, right here, I want them to remember the Lord God. And there was a group of other preachers there last night, and one of the verses, and of course, very familiar verse, but the Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. First and foremost, we need to remember the Lord God. We need to remember Him every day of our lives. And that we so easily forget. Life gets going, the busyness of life, just going day by day. And a lot of times, in certain moments during the day, we just tend to forget. And so I'm here to help you remember. God, listen, God hates the nations that forget Him. He hates them. That's not a very popular message today. You know, the Israelites themselves, I was preaching a sermon this morning, and it was on, you know, the swords of the Lord. And one of the things I noticed is, man, God is a God of judgment. God is a vengeful God. Now, I'm not here. Listen, I understand. If you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are in the love of God. You are in the love of Christ. Nothing can take you out of that. I'm preaching on the other end, because you get out into the world, you knock on doors, you get out on the street, and you realize that this world and this nation has forgotten the Lord God. And they do not want to hear about the Lord God of the Bible. They want to hear about a God that forgives, and that's great. God does forgive. But there is conditions for that forgiveness. There is a sacrifice that you need to appropriate for that forgiveness. He doesn't just forgive, you know, carte blanche. And He just loves everybody and forgives everybody. They just do whatever they want. That's not the God of the Bible. And we need to remember the Lord God of the Bible, the God of the Bible who gives us these blessings, the God of the Bible who gives us the power to get up in the morning, who gives us the breath that we, you know, the air that we breathe. He is an amazing God. He's an unfathomable God. You know what? He's better than Allah. I don't even know who Allah is, you know. Allah what? I don't know. But the Lord God of the Bible is a great God. He is a great God. And that's first and foremost where we need to start when we think about things to remember. Like I said, it you know, when you get out on the street, when you knock on doors, you start to see that this world hates God. I mean, they do. And you start to see the undercurrents of what's coming. Listen, if the Lord tarries, you know, and I always pray for God's mercy on myself and on this nation, because we deserve so much worse. And I never pray for God's judgment, but it's coming. It's already started. We need to remember the Lord God of the Bible, not just the God out of the imaginations of our own heart, not just the God who is like the Santa Claus in the sky, or like Jen was saying, you know, he's like a kind of a dispenser, just a something, you know, some guy you go to, and you, well, I need this now, and I need that, and I need that, and I need that. And that's not, listen, that's not bad to do, because you need to be dependent on the God of the Bible. You do. I mean, we are dependent on the God of the Bible. In Psalm 30, verse 4, I was looking through the book of Jeremiah, and I didn't count them. And how many times did sword come up in the book of Jeremiah? 61 times in the book of Jeremiah alone. You know, in this day and age, Jeremiah would have been a traitor to the government. Because he's telling the Israelites, hey, listen, you know, judgment's coming. And you know what? Lay down your arms. Don't fight. Can you imagine? Don't fight the enemy. You're supposed to give up, and the Lord will take care of you. Yeah, that would go over well today. In Psalm 30, verse 4. But it's amazing when I read through and I'm like, wow, like I said before, God is, the Lord is a man of war. And it's coming close. The man of war, he's coming. He's coming. And let me get to Psalm 30. And I want to get to Psalm 30 and verse 4. It says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. We need to remember that God is a holy God. That's one of the things that I like to preach on the streets is, you know, God is holy. Are you ready for the judgment of a holy God? And the only way you can be ready is through faith alone in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That is it. That is all. And God in his mercy and God in his love sent his only begotten Son to take your place and to be able to show you mercy and grace. And now, I don't even believe there's any real salvation without at least coming to a certain understanding of the holiness of God. That has gone out of our society today. In Isaiah chapter 46, in verse 9, it says, remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. There's nobody like the God of the universe. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, first part, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember, listen, you need to remember that God created you and you are accountable to your Creator. That's one of the purposes of witnessing out on the street and the doorstep, is to remind people that they are accountable to a holy God, to a great God. You listen, I'm not accountable to you. Well, on a certain level I am. But in the end, I'm accountable to my Creator. I have got to face Him one day. The good news is my sins were already judged at Calvary. I mean, it's a done deal. It's done. Remember now thy Creator. Nowadays, you got people running around. That Bible's it's just a mythical book. We evolved from animals. Yeah, you're acting like one. You act like them. And I'll tell you this, there is no evolution. I try not even to use that word. You know, you get to, well, our company has evolved. Your company hasn't done, it doesn't evolve. It's not a word, man. It changed into something. It's not, it doesn't evolve. I try not to use it, and sometimes I have to catch myself. In 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 12, it says, remember his marvelous works. It's always good to go outside and look at the sky and say, the God of the universe, the God whose Son, who is God, created that. You know, and I love trees. Now, I don't love them so far as to, you know, not cut them down because of the stupid little spotted owl or something. But, because we need lumber. We need to care. Listen, man is more important than animals. And people have forgotten that. Listen, I believe we should treat animals nice, but if it's the choice between an animal and man, man is more important than animals. And what are you evolutionists worried about? Why are we running around trying to save the whale or save this or save that? Listen, evolution, survival of the fittest. If they die, they die. Leave them alone. Too bad. That's the way it goes, you know? And so remember the Lord God. Remember the Lord God first and foremost in your minds and heart. And let's go to Malachi. Things to remember. I wonder if I had a son, if I would name him Malachi. Liz is like, no, we probably wouldn't do that. Malachi 4 and verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. You know, remember the law. You know, the law that is being cast out of our public schools, the law that's being cast out of our public buildings. Not too long ago, you know, I remember, I mean, there were certain things going on when I was in junior high and high school, but you know, I got in trouble for chewing gum in gym class. Now it's kind of, you know, kind of stepped it up a bit. And why? Because we don't remember the law of a holy God. This is one of the things I do too on the streets, is sometimes I remind people, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God. People need to be reminded of the law of a holy God, the moral law. This nation's going down the tube. You know, sodomy is an abomination to God. They need to be reminded of that. Last night, I seen a few of them. It makes me puke. Listen, they need the gospel. They need to be saved. But they're perverted, and it makes me want to puke. And that's just the way it is. Remember the law. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And there is something, listen, I know that to the Christian, the law has been nailed to the cross. So, listen, the judgment of the law, the consequences of the law, if you're saved, you know, you are no longer under the curse of the law. But we still need to remember the law. It's a good thing. I'll tell you, 50 years ago, lost people in this nation remembered the law. You know, I still remember a time, this was 1972, and on the tube, it was like the first pervert marriage, and my dad walks in, you know, it's the news, and he ran out and threw up in the bathroom. Nowadays, it's not, it's like, well, what's wrong? They're nice people. Hey, some of them are probably nice people. But they're perverts. It's perverted. They weren't created that way. You know? And notice this. They want a marriage. The funny thing is, wait, man and wife will be taken away. Mother and father will be taken away. You know? And yet, whenever you see that kind of stuff going on, there's always one that takes on the male and one that takes on the female. They still don't get away from it. But remember the law. Remember the law. We need to remember the law too. I mean, thou shalt not covet. That's always good for the Christian. I mean, a lot. We covet a lot, and we have a lot of stuff going on, especially in this nation today, that there are a lot of things that we can get off coveting. And the Bible says covetousness is idolatry. And you know, we need to remember the law. Hey, don't bear false witness. You know, it's Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians. All right, there was a Christian one time told me, oh, there's no commands in the New Testament. I'm like, have you read your Bible? Listen, there are no commands in respect to your salvation. If you are saved, you know, you can't work for your salvation and you can't work to keep it. But there are many commands for the New Testament Christian who is eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the law. Paul wrote about it too in Romans chapter 13. You know, and don't remember the law in the wrong way. I've dealt with people who, you know, okay, you got this movement, and especially among some of you got the charismatic, kind of the Jewish charismatics, and they're running around saying, okay, now we need to keep the Sabbath, and we can't eat pork, and we can't do this, and we can't do that. We can't do this. Listen, the Sabbath is not what I'm talking about, okay? It's good to come to church on Sunday. It's good to come to church on Wednesday. It's good to set aside time for the Lord God every day of the week. But the Sabbath is for the nation of Israel. It's not for the Christian in this day and age. Remember the law. Remember the law. And I'll tell you this. If you remember the law and you read the Old Testament and the consequences that Israel had to have to take in order for forgetting the law, that their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, judged his people. He slaughtered his people. He basically dispersed his people because they forgot the law of God. And do you think that this country, hey, we're not Israel. You know, listen, remember the law. Stand for the law. It's really sad. I was at work and I was talking with the maintenance mechanics, and things came up about one of the last Supreme Court rulings, and then one guy asked, well, what does your church think? I said, it doesn't matter what my church thinks. It matters what the Bible says. That's what matters. Well, I said, and God hates it. That's all there is to it. So, and by the way, our church agrees with that. So that's the way it goes. But remember the law. And these are people, listen, they agreed with me. And they're lost. And they use the Lord's name in vain all the time. They don't have a problem, you know, taking stuff here and there. You know, it's the way it is. Remember the law. I mean, you know, you can't just pick and choose. It's the whole law. And the law is there in this day and age to show us that we're sinners and we can't keep it and point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Things to remember. Remember the Lord God and remember the law. Let's go to Exodus 13. I don't want to, because sometimes I can go long, and I'll try not to tonight, because you already heard some good testimonies. But if I tend to go till 9 o'clock, will you guys forgive me? I mean, you know. I love preaching here. You guys, this is a really great place to preach. You guys are really fun to preach to. Exodus 13, verse 3. Actually, we'll just start in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Listen, you need to remember the day that God delivered you from bondage. That's always good to do. Always good to do. Egypt, of course, I mean, you know, historically, Moses is talking to the nation of Israel. But devotionally, Egypt is a type of the world. It's a picture of the world. And as a Christian, you were delivered out from under the condemnation of the world. And you need to remember that day constantly. Because the further and further that day get, you know, there's certain things that set in. Sometimes it's complacency. Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes it's this, whatever. You need to remember God's deliverance. I remember the day that I got saved. I grew up Roman Catholic. And like Jake was saying, listen, I was into rock and roll. I went to the rock and roll concerts. I got saved when I was 25 years of age. I had been through the Marine Corps. And that was... The Marine Corps was a pure way of life. No, just kidding. But the Lord God, you know, he brought me to a point where I realized that all of this and all that I was working towards in life was worth nothing. I had no purpose and no cause. And there was one day about, when was that, 1991, so it was whatever, 24 some odd years ago, that I bowed down and told the Lord, I don't want to go to hell, and your Bible says that if I put my faith and trust in your Son, that you would save me. I'm calling upon that. I want to get saved. Save me. And you know what happened? Well, he saved me. But I didn't feel anything. I was like, oh, man, is there a lightning bolt? I'm like, is he going to strike me? No. I'm like, well, how come everybody else gets the feelings? Yeah, God knew that if I had a feeling, you know, something probably would happen. Who knows? But you know what? I was saved. I know why I know. Because the Bible tells me that I'm saved because of who I received as my Savior. Remember God's deliverance. In Deuteronomy 15 and verse 15, that's the best day. I tell you, I am so glad that I got saved. I am so glad that God delivered me. He delivered me. Listen, God's still delivering me. But I'll tell you this. He delivered me from being a drunk. He delivered me from drugs. He delivered me from a lot of things. And I praise God for that. And it's good. You know, there's probably months that go on end that I don't think about the day that God delivered me. And it's always good to remember. Deuteronomy 15:15 says, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And one of the reasons why God wanted the Israelites to remember is so that when they got into the land, that they would treat, you know, the strangers that came into the land righteously, that they wouldn't oppress them like they were oppressed in the land of Egypt. And I tell you this, one of the things that remembering your deliverance helps with is it helps you not to get too comfortable in your Christianity and not to show grace to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we need it. Listen, God showed us grace, mercy, forgiveness, and we need it from each other. Because you know what? We stink sometimes. We just do. And I'm not talking about needing to take a shower. And so it's good to remember what God delivered you from, you know, and know that you're delivered from it, and so that you can, you know, have right relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, I hope this is, you know, I didn't want to get too hard tonight. I wanted to be a soft, kind of a soft sermon. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh," and most of you probably were Gentiles in the flesh, "who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." You know, the sad thing is, Billy Graham started out good, and then he starts saying hell is separation from God. Well, it is, but it's also burning in the lake of fire forever and ever. That's what it is. You're separated from God right now if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're without hope. You're without God in this world right now. And we need to remember that that is where we were at and know that God delivered us from that. And it says here, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And that is good news. That is good news. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he's writing about some things here. And he's talking about temperance and patience and godliness and so forth. And he says in verse 9, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." It's always good to remember what you were delivered from so that you can continue to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember God's deliverance. So you need to remember the Lord God, and let's go to Luke chapter 17. You need to remember the law, and you need to remember God's deliverance in your life. In Luke 17, and where do I want to go? Well, let's just start in verse 32. "Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." Doctrinally, I know that this is actually a warning to those in the tribulation that when judgment falls, get out and don't look back. Because if you look back and you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. You're going to take part in the judgment that's coming. In Luke 9:23, here's the same kind of a admonition to the disciples. "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Remember Lot's wife. You know, this world stinks. And Lot's wife was so concerned about the things, you know, of this world and the physical things in her house, that when God's judgment was coming and they were all told, don't look back, she had to turn back to see what was happening. And God's judgment fell on her too. Remember Lot's wife. In Psalm 20, verse 7, Psalm 20, verse 7, says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." You know, we're not supposed to love this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, it's the love of the Father is not in him. If all you have in your heart is love for this world, is all you have is you're looking back. You know, one of the things that you shouldn't remember is never remember the leeks and the onions and the garlic that was back in Egypt. Because I'll guarantee you this, the further you get from your deliverance, sometimes the rosier that past can look. And you got to remember what you came out of and where, what you were going through when you came to salvation in Jesus Christ. Remember Lot's wife. The things of this world are not worth it. And, you know, it's always good to surrender your life. And you know what? You have to do it daily. It's always good to come up to the altar and say, I surrender my life to your will for my life. But I'll guarantee you this, you have to do it every day. And if you forget, I mean, it's just the way, it's the way we are. It's the way we are. Remember Lot's wife. Don't turn into a pillar of salt. Unless we have a salt shortage, because I like salt, you know. Don't look back. You know, you can't be a disciple of Christ if you put your hand to the plow and you look back. So don't look back. Don't worry about that. Just keep moving ahead. I don't know what's coming. I can see, I can kind of speculate, but for sure, I don't know what's coming if the Lord tarries. But I hope and pray by the grace of God that I never look back, that I continually am moving forward. That's the Christian life. The Christian life, when you put on that armor, there's nothing for your back. There's nothing for retreat. There's either you stand or you continue to move forward. You got to stand, and a lot of Christians nowadays are falling off. They're not standing. They're turning around. They're retreating. They're becoming a casualty, and it's really sad to see. And if it's happening now, hey, it's going to get worse. I know I'm very positive here tonight, but it's what's going to happen. It will get worse. It's the way it is. Remember Lot's wife. Remember not to look back. Remember to love not the world. Let's go to John chapter 15. If you're living the Christian life, if you are a disciple of the Master, things are going to happen. In John 15 and verse 18, Jesus said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." And there were people out on the street last night. I love Jesus. I love God. You know, as they're taking their, you know, 8-year-old daughter into this, you know, drunken fest at the Roman Catholic Church. You know, and then of course they have to make it. To, you know, they're stealing the King's English. They had a big sign out there: "You doth rock." Like, you're an abomination. You're an abomination. You are making money off these people and then making them think that God is okay with it. That's why when I preach out there, I periodically have to tell them, God hates what's going on here today. God hates it. They turn around, "What are you talking about? God hates it. There's a big church here." No, God hates it, man. I just want to remind you, does that make you feel bad? Well, good, because God hates it. You know, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And he says, if ye were of the world, the world would love his own. Hey, listen, if the world hates you, and I'm not saying going around trying to get people to hate you, but if the world hates you, you're doing right and the world hates you, you know something's going right, you know? But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. There was a Catholic there talking about how Catholics were persecuted by the Protestants. Yeah. So, let's see. The head of the gunpowder plot, Henry Garnett, the Jesuit provincial of England at that time, and some other Catholics got caught trying to blow up King James in the Parliament. Well, of course, they were tried for treason, and then they went and were hung. Well, they were persecuted for their faith. Yeah, that's a great faith, isn't it? This happens all the time. Them poor, persecuted Catholics. You know, that's what you're going to get. You have three groups out there, the poor big babies. The Muslims that are so persecuted, right. And the Catholics and the perverts. They're all persecuted. Yeah, right. You know, tell it to somebody that's going to believe you. But listen, if you're doing right, the world is going to hate you. Because it hates Jesus Christ. It hates him. You know, you can listen, somebody come run. Oh, I love Jesus. Yeah, you love Jesus. And this lady's like, oh, you know, God created me and I am awesome. No, you are not. While she's taking her 8-year-old daughter into that place. I'm so awesome. Oh, man. You know, I mean, we've come a long way in this country and in this world. Not that this hasn't happened before. And, you know, you need to remember why persecution comes. Here in verse 20 it says, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Listen, it's not going to be fun. It's not fun to go through persecution. I mean, we had people, you know, yelling at us, and we had people, you know, telling us to shut up and all this other stuff. That's not really, that's whatever. I don't even look at, you know, yeah, okay, that's persecution, but yeah, big deal. But, you know, listen, Christians, I talked about this morning. I look up, one of my heroes in the medieval times was that 12-year-old kid. I can't remember the city. And the Catholic Church is coming across with the little host in the monstrance. And he ran up and took that host, threw it on the ground, stamped on it, said it's idolatry. Well, good for him. Of course, they hung him, burnt him at the stake. And his mother was pleased. There's my son standing for Jesus Christ. That's not Christianity today. Man, we've got people running after this Pope we got here, you know. And it's getting worse. And hey, he stopped by Burger King the other day. He must be normal. I wonder what he ordered. I don't know. Maybe it was just like he didn't really order anything. Or maybe what he ordered, he had somebody else eat because he had his own food in the car or something. In 2 Timothy, it's been a while since I've been here, so I'm just kind of throwing stuff out there. Remember why persecution comes. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, you make a choice. You make a choice to do right, and persecution will come. I will tell you, the Christian life is the best decision I ever made, but in some ways it didn't make my life easier. It did not. And Christian, it won't make your life easier. It just won't. And then you're going to get into situations where you have to make a decision. Am I going to stand for righteousness, or am I just going to kind of keep quiet? Or am I going to do this? Or I mean, it's not easy. You know, Christianity is not the easy life if you're really living it out. I've heard of people, well, Christianity is not that bad. Well, you know, I talked to somebody that I know, and Christianity is not that bad. And I'm like, well, have you ever witnessed to your mother-in-law and told her that she needs to be saved and by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in what the Roman Catholic Church teaches? Well, that would be hard. Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. What in the world? It says here in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You have a will to do right, and you will suffer persecution. It will come, because they hated Jesus Christ, they hated the Master, and they will hate you. And, you know, this little perfect storm, it's coming. The Lord Jesus Christ, hey, he's coming back. And we need to rise up, and we need to stand like soldiers of Jesus Christ, and we need to take it. That's what we need to do, and stand, and stay standing, you know. Remember why persecution comes. Why does it come? Because if you're trying to be a servant of Jesus Christ, it's going to come. It came for him. You know, they crucified him, practically speaking. Jesus Christ was crucified because of what he said and what he preached. Not because he went around healing people. You know, I believe God can heal, but he doesn't heal like he did under the signs of the apostles in those times. You know, and these people running around, in essence, making a mockery of Jesus Christ, laying their hands on people, you know, saying, God, shut up. If you have the gift of healing, go to the hospital. Lay your hands on the cancer patients in there, and you won't have no need to put up a tent in any city, because let's just social media today, do it once. And it's going to be on Twitter, and it'll be on Facebook, and money will be flowing in, man. You don't have to do anything. I just saw this little blurb, this poor little girl, 8-year-old girl, had a lemonade stand, and they just took it. They stole her lemonade stand. Can't believe it. She was working for an American Girl doll. All over, the mothers trying to figure out what to do. It went all over social media. And now Home Depot got her a new little stand and everything. She's going to go back home and, you know. She was on Fox News, you know, they're supporting, you know, this poor 8-year-old girl that got her lemonade stand stolen. I'll tell you this, you keep on serving Jesus Christ, you're going to have your lemonade stand stolen. You know, I'll tell you. But we need to remember why persecution comes. I mean, it's what it is. It's coming. In John 16, verse 4, last verse of this point, and then I've only got, I can't count anyway. I got, five more, six more, something like that. But in John 16, verse 1, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. And they shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service." And he says in verse 4, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them." Remember it. And don't think that it's something special. Don't think you're going through something special as a Christian when persecution comes, because it's not special. If you're going to do right, it's just going to come. And I think it was Peter that wrote, "Happy are ye, you know, if you're, you know, you suffer for my sake." I'm so happy. You know, hey, as a Christian, you should smile more. Well, I don't feel like smiling. You know. People running around, they have their ideas of what Christians should be and shouldn't be. You know. Yeah, wait till if I'm burning at the stake and the Lord gives me grace, maybe I'll clap my hands and smile, you know. We'll see what happens. Hopefully I don't run away. In Acts chapter 20. So we need to remember the Lord God, remember the law, remember God's deliverance. We need to remember Lot's wife, and we need to remember why persecution comes. And in Acts chapter 20, and let's see, in verse 26, Paul writes, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And, you know, a lot of Christians, a lot of churches have been doing just that. I'll guarantee you that you will not be a large church if you are declaring all the counsel of God. You will not be a mega church. It ain't happening. And who would want it? "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." That was God's blood shed at Calvary. God's blood, eternal blood, and it's still accessible today. "For I know this, that after my departing," it wasn't the death of Christ. It's the blood of, listen, it is partly the death of Christ, but it's that shed blood that'll wash away your sins. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone day and night with tears." Do you see the Apostle Paul? He's warning, I'm telling you, there's going to arise people among you, and they're going to, you know, they're going to get prideful. They're going, you know, you got, hey, oh, well, the Lord showed me these things, but I'll let you study it out. You probably maybe could find, I'm just trying to be humble here, you know. Don't try to go for the new thing. I'm telling you. Stick with the old path. Stick with the book. And I know, listen, this book is a wonderful book. And if you're in it and you're studying, the Lord will show you some things. But watch out sometimes for the pride that can set in. And when that sets in and you get to a certain, you're going to start drawing away. Because, you know, you don't want to be alone, you know. It's kind of like the old days. Never wanted to drink alone. Never wanted to do drugs alone. Well, can't have false doctrine alone either, you know. We need to remember the warnings of false, you know, the warning that false prophets are going to come and that they are here. There is so much going on the internet today. I mean, it's so hard, you know, to be a pastor today, to guide your flock. It's so much harder because there is so much stuff floating around out there that people get caught up into. And it's like, man, and we need to realize that, listen, if you're here today and you decide to become part of this local church, God set this pastor over you for a certain reason, and you need to, you know, it's not a bad thing to go reading different things and all that, but sometimes there is so much stuff out there, you can get carried away. And listen, this isn't one of my points, but remember those that have the rule over you. I'm not talking about authoritarian man of God rule. I'm talking about remember. In fact, you can remember him tonight and pray for him so he gets better. So then, I don't have to come back, you know. But remember, remember that this local church God set you in. This is where God wants you to serve. This is where God wants you to grow. And you got to watch. You know, you have to watch and be wary for the wolves that are out there and the wolves that sometimes grow from within. There is a lot of deception in these last days, and a lot of it comes from not believing the book. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, very familiar passage. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And Paul writes, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." Well, it's happening. It's happening. "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." You know, people nowadays, they think they're so great, they're going to love it. You know, this guy's going to go in, you know, man is God, I am God, we're all God, you know, the trees are God, Mother Earth is God. But Jesus Christ isn't God, you know. "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" And it goes on, it says here in verse 9, even him, this wicked that Christ is going to consume, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's what's happening today. A lot of what's happening in the charismatic Pentecostal stuff is preparing people for the Antichrist when he comes. The sad thing is there are saved people in these churches. A lot of them don't have a clue what's going on. They don't have a clue that they're prepping people to receive the Antichrist when he comes and receive these lying signs and wonders. Because I'll guarantee you one thing, Satan has power and Satan can heal, and eventually Satan's going to have lightning coming down from heaven. He's going to raise somebody from the dead, and people are going to go after him because they don't know the book, and they don't want to know the book. Another thing that goes right along with it, you know, the rock and roll that you hear so much about, it went in and out of the charismatic churches in the 20s and 30s and 40s. You know, where did Elvis Presley pick up his rock and roll? In the Assembly of God Church. And then he brought it out. That's where he picked up that music. Amy Semple McPherson used jazz to bring people in. Hey, feed the flesh. Feed the flesh. Watch it. It's coming. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. Listen, remember, it's good to be warned. It's good to be warned. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." Hey, Christians who have eternal security are going to depart from the faith. How many Christians do you know? They never were saved. Hey, then you don't really have an understanding of the gospel, do you? I'll guarantee you this, there is a lot of Christians, or let's just say this, a lot of people who are saved that depart from the faith for many reasons. And they're going to be in heaven. That's the way it is. It says, "giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats." I was talking about that yesterday. I'm like, if the Roman Catholic Church allowed their priests to marry, maybe they wouldn't be going after the little boys. Oh, but, you know, the Roman Catholic Church isn't the only one that does it. I mean, oh, you telling me a Baptist did? Yeah, okay, there's a couple of Baptists to the thousands of sodomite priests that are out there. So what's the difference here, you know? Your system is defunct. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Listen, you can eat meat on Friday if you want. You can eat pork if you want, if it agrees with you, you know. You can eat lobster, you know. There's a lot of Christians nowadays that are, like I said, that are going off on this, oh, you can't eat pork again. Be quiet. You know, kind of, can you get on like important things or something? No, remember. Well, you need to remember the warnings in the Bible against deception, against false prophets, against these things. We need to be on guard. We need to be vigilant. Not a lot of Christians are vigilant nowadays. Romans 16, verse 17, Paul writes, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Man, you got somebody telling you the truth straight up? You got somebody tell it to you a little roughly? They're probably telling the truth. It's the ones that are coming with good words and fair speeches. You got to watch out for them. Watch out and mark them. Mark them. You say, "Well, this is kind of rough." Well, I'm warning you. I'm telling you, be on guard for deception. Because, listen, "Oh, I'm a Bible believer. I believe the King James Bible." Yeah, that's fine. Be on guard for deception. There's a lot of King James Bible believers that have fallen away and gotten deceived. You know, we're no different. Be sober. Be vigilant. And watch out for these people running around with good words and fair speeches. I like the rough-speaking people better. It's kind of who I'm used to hanging around with anyway, you know. Remember the Lord God. He is a great God. Remember the law. Remember God's deliverance in your life. Remember Lot's wife. Remember why persecution comes. Remember the warnings of false prophets and deception. And let's go to 2 Timothy 2. Just got a couple more minutes. Hang on with me. Jonathan said that he misses the four-hour sermons, you know, because that's what I'll tell you, Lonnie preaches. Wait till he preaches here. You might as well just leave at 10 o'clock at night, okay? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." You need to remember the resurrection. Jesus Christ was physically rose from the dead. He is a living Savior today. And we need to remember. Listen, if it wasn't for the resurrection, our faith would be vain. It would be nothing. Be nothing. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is something to celebrate every day of the year. Because He rose from the dead, you will rise from the dead one day. And maybe some of us, maybe He'll come back tonight and we'll all be changed. But if we die, we will rise from the dead because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And He is alive today. That's partially what the Lord's Supper is about. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." So you're showing the Lord's death till He come. He's alive. He rose from the dead. He's off the cross. Seated at the right hand, and he's getting close, he's getting ready, he is coming back. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is coming back, and He's the only one worthy to open the seven seals. And I'm waiting for that day, not just because I want to get out of here, which I do, because, you know, I really do like things easy. I try, but, you know, it doesn't happen that way, and I'm going to love to see the day when He's seated on the throne and He's ruling the nations with the rod of iron and He's getting what's rightfully His. Because that's partially why He died on that cross. To basically take up the kingdoms once again. Remember the resurrection. And remember it on, what's that day that people celebrate? Oh, Easter, whatever that day is. Remember it on other days other than Easter, okay? You know, it's good to remember. It's good to remember that. It's part of your salvation. In Jude, I was going to say in Jude chapter 2, but let's see if you... But in Jude verse 17, it says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which are spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." Peter writes... a similar passage, he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. You know, there's people out there, "Well, Peter didn't really write the second epistle." Really? In the world, it said Simon Peter. You people are stupid. I mean, really. Like, come on. Well, it was a book that was, well, he's kind of like, you know, they didn't read, well, they thought it might be, but maybe it was. What? You got Simon Peter. This second epistle, he wrote the book. Don't let anybody tell you these stupid theories. You know, believe the book. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of the us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking. Listen, don't be surprised when people are scoffing and mocking the second coming and mocking that there were any judgments at all. You know? Look at the Sodomites. They took the rainbow. That's a sign that God judged the world for its wickedness, and now you got these wicked people taking it for their symbol. You know? Remember. Remember the words of the apostles. And not only remember that they told you that there's going to become scoffers in the last days, remember the words of the book. That this is a perfect book. I don't know how many times that I talk with people, they don't believe this book. They'll do anything. You know, I say, well, see, look at here. The Bible says here, yeah, I know that. But that really, in the Greek, what it really means is this. Or, you know, what it, that, I know it's, that's an error. That's an error. How do I know? Well, I'm a Greek scholar. That's how I know. I talked to a Jehovah's Witness once. I've told this story to some people before, but I talked to a Jehovah's Witness once at work, and it still stuck with me today. And the sad thing is Christians do it today. And so he's at work, and he's showing me something out of this little studies in the book of Daniel. And so I have my Bible with me at work, and he says, see in here. Okay, I'm going to open up the Bible. Oh, I said, see, look what it says. And he said, I know that's what it says, but that's not what it means. Well, I'm like, well, then do anything you want to do, you know? You know, that's why we have a Supreme Court right now just rewriting the laws, legislating from the bench. Oh, well, I know it says that, but it doesn't mean what it says. You know where that comes from? It comes from Christians not standing on the perfect words of God, and here's the fruit of it right now. That's where it comes from. Christianity, the churches are responsible because we should have been out there preaching. We should have been out there standing for righteousness, but we're busy doing other things. We need to remember that the words of this book are perfect and nobody can change them. I'll guarantee you can have faith in that 100%. Well, you know, but over here, you know how many people told me, well, you know, there's all these errors in the King James Bible. So then the one guy was talking, you know, there's errors. I said, no, there's not. Well, Do you read Greek? I said, yeah, I do. Oh, well, then I guess I can't put this over on you. Yeah, I mean, I read Greek. I think I can. You know, I can read a couple Greek words. I didn't tell him I was proficient in reading Greek. I just told him I could read Greek. I didn't want to lie to him. But isn't that funny? How many, why can't you just take the Bible for what it says, where it says it, to who it says it? Rightly divide the book. There will be no problems. It's just sad that, and what the sad thing is most of Christianity today doesn't really believe the Bible they have in their hand. They don't believe it. And they listen too many times to their pastors and the preachers, I didn't mean to call them preachers, whatever they are, the teachers, having itching ears. They're listening too much to them. Well, you know, I prefer this one better. The Greek says this, the good, blah, blah, the Hebrew says, you know, listen, remember the words of the Lord God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Remember the words and remember what's coming. And lastly, and you're like, yes, we got it. In Revelation 2. And in Revelation 2, and we'll just start in verse 1 real quick here. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. I guarantee you there are some around today that say they're apostles. Just give them a cup of gas. And that's at that point when you tell them to drink it, that's when they'll say, I don't want to tempt the Lord. Oh, okay. But it says here, it's a sign, you won't drink any deadly thing and it won't harm you. You chicken. You're not an apostle. But the important thing is here, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. You know, that happens to us so easily that we forget our first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the time that I got saved. And I remember just, in a lot of ways, there was some sweet fellowship there with the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything was new, you know. And it's just really neat. It's new and this and that. But then life goes on and it goes day by day. And it's so easy to forget your first love. Listen, remember your first love. The first love at anything, the first reason, it goes with the first point, remember the Lord God, but remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what He did for you. Remember what He does for you. Remember your first love. Don't forget. Because everything we do should flow out of that. There's a lot of things we forget because we're human. It's what we are, you know. And I'm here to tell you today there are some things to remember. And I hope I got you thinking on some things to remember, and this helps you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one worthy to be praised, and He did so much for us. He is faithful to us, and a lot of times we are not faithful to Him. And I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to remember these things. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, and remember our first love and why we do the things we do. Pray that You bless, Lord, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to stand, we'll go to 376. The altar's open if anybody wants to come.
Jacob, would you close us in prayer? All the blue, dark blue shirt, Jacob. I just wanted to say it was a blessing seeing Brother Darling up here singing.